flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And we welcome you back into Sports Daily, and we welcome in voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, in the most festive we've been in a while here on a Monday morning, coming off of a weekend of college hoops where K-State has historically one of the great wins of all time. When you consider what Iowa State has done, the win streak that they had that was snapped, K-State continues to play well, now a three-game win streak. Wyatt, I think it's easy for Cat fans to just say, God, where has this been? Like too little, too late. But man, I got to tell you, in the Big 12, the reality is it's definitely not too late, right? They jumped 20 spots in the net with that win. Those are the kinds of wins that you can pile up. Now, they're going to have to overcome 11 overall losses, but they're very much now in the mix the way they're playing to get up into that top half of the Big 12, which who knows, that might be enough. You just got to get there. So, you know, there's no sense in worrying about it at this point. What a weekend in Ames.
Oh, 100%. Let's kind of set the stage of this. K-State had lost, 15 consecutive road games. Iowa State had won 29 straight at home over the last 2 years, and K-State wins by 19. I mean, I don't know how you explain it, but I do think this team has turned the corner to a certain degree on a lot of different things. I'll be honest, it was easily their best game of the year. No one would probably argue with that. They had five guys in double figures. All of the starters were in double figures. Iowa State, one of the elite offensive teams in the country, shoots 36.5%. But even if you go deeper than that, I mean, K-State had 14 offensive rebounds. They had a 21-6 advantage points in the paint. Their effort was better. Their execution was better. It was a great win. And as you said, when you start looking at some of the biggest upsets and or big victories on the road in K-State history, this was going to be in the neighborhood, no doubt about it.
Wyatt, we're talking about a guy this morning, Doug McDaniel, who has absolutely asserted himself on this team. And I think that's been such an important factor for the Wildcats turning things around in the last couple of weeks. 20 points for him, 5 assists. I don't know if you can quite put into words what he has meant to this team over the last few games. But I mean, he clearly has been the catalyst, I feel like, for what the Wildcats have been able to do.
Well, let's put it this way. K-State has won 4 times now in the Big 12. In 3 of those games, he's had 17, 15, and 20. His assists are up. His turnovers are down. His shooting percentage is still just okay, but the decision-making and the emotion of how he is playing and his trying to be a leader, more of a leader, really is kind of shining. Really proud of Doug, to be real honest with you. I think Coach Tang has probably challenged him as much as he's challenged any player since he's been here, from at least my perspective. Now, Coach Tang may disagree with that, because in the early days with Marquise Noel, he challenged him off the charts too. But I got to give Doug a lot of credit. He's a tough kid, and he's just hung with it. There's no doubt he's been a major factor in this. Coleman's been really good, too. And I know he got a lot of criticism early for he can't do this or he didn't do that or he needs to be more productive. And all of that is probably fair to a certain point. But those two guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing right at the moment.
You know, it's funny with Coleman Hawkins. And he's Coleman Hawkins is what he is. And he's kind of doing now what he's been doing. he's not going to be some premier scorer. Now, 17 points, look, that's nothing to shake a stick at, but the 7 rebounds, it's the 4 steals. It's like, that's what he's always been, and it's what he's doing lately. But it's interesting that the spotlight has been on him, and his game hasn't really changed. It's just, it's like they've learned how to now play off of his strengths, which is everything else that he does. So I think all of that criticism for him, while it was unfair early in the year, and he had some bad games, but he wasn't playing that bad. He was by far not the most responsible for the bad play. And it all fits now. This is what we thought we were going to get out of this team, Wyatt. Like, this, it all before the season started seemed to fit on paper. Jerome Tang has his point guard. We know he likes that play iso ball and let his point guards do that. Mm-hmm. He's got this great shooter in Hassan. He's got a, you know, kind of a utility knife in Hawkins, and then all that. Like, we all thought this was going to work, and then it didn't, and now it is. So what changed?
Well, better point guard play, as we lined up line there, that's obvious. The one thing I will say, I think that Coleman is doing now better than he did before is probably shot selection, one. And then he's, you know what, the truth is, for a 6'10 guy, he's a pretty elite passer. And I think he has kind of figured out that he doesn't just have to score 20 every night like everybody talked about, but he can have 15 and 7 or 8 and get along just fine, especially if everybody else around him is going to be more consistent, which has also been true. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought in his overall game, Brendan Hassan Saturday was by far his best game as a Wildcat. He was doing everything, fellas, steals, diving on the floor. Go back and look at the film of that 1-3. He literally was behind the Pioneer Seed logo on the far side of the floor as we were looking at it, and made a 3-pointer. It's incredible. His effort was off the charts. And I think that's the other thing that people are seeing. You know, we can talk about individual plays, playing better as a team, but the reality of it is the way they're playing in terms of playing hard is a different level now than it was 3 weeks ago.
I think there was a crucial part in the second half of the game, Wyatt, where the Cyclones cut the Wildcat lead to 58-52 midway through the second half. And that was kind of the moment that at least I thought, you know, here we go. It's got, you know, you've got this Iowa State team that they're number 3 in the country, and they're starting to come alive, and the crowd is getting behind them and all of that. And then all of a sudden, the Wildcats just extinguished that push from Iowa State. That was some resilience that I don't think we've seen in quite a long time from Kansas State.
Tommy, that's such a great point, because I think in an earlier game like that in the season, even back to the non-conference, they would have probably given up the lead and probably lost the game. So there's growth there too. And I can tell you, being there in person, witnessing it, the fever pitch in the building at that point when they cut it to 58-52. Keep in mind, leading up to that, there was a stretch into the first half, into the second. And this is hard for me to even say, but Stan pointed this out. K-State had a run of 30-6 against the third-ranked team in the country. And that's mind-boggling. And you're right, though. That somehow, some way, they answered offensively and defensively and kind of stemmed the tide there. And once they built it back up to double digits, you kind of got this sense, just looking at the guys like, hey, we're going to do this. And they did.
You know, it's interesting you bring up that run, because that's kind of been their thing lately, right? In these wins, they'll have one of those a game where it's just like a wild run. And that's enough if you play good defense. I mean, it is. So we can talk all day long about the offense and these players. Is there a level of defense now being played that we're good with, you know, the rest of the way? Like, have they reached a point where, like, okay, now they can, you know, now they can get in there and get scrappy and shut it? Because you can't get on a run if the other team's scoring. And that's a big part of these runs as much as anything else.
That's it. And again, I'll repeat that Iowa State shot 36.5% and scored 61 points. This is a team that averages over 80 points a game and is one of the better offensive teams numbers-wise in the country. I just felt like K-State did a really good job. Well, let's go back to the first of the game. K-State's down 13-4, and I'm sure most fans were going, see, I told you. They won a couple home games. This is a different animal on the road. I probably was thinking it to a small degree myself, right? But if you look at that 13-4 spurt, all of their those were basically perimeter shots. Case they were getting nothing on the inside. And that was a trend that I thought was really something that continued throughout the entirety of the game. It probably helped that Joshua Jackson got a couple of early fouls and never really got into the flow of the game in the first half. No doubt about that. But, you know, again, I'm just going to say the effort and the defense that they've played in the last three games is just at a different level. And I think our fans are probably pretty excited about that, and they should be. Going back to what you said earlier, Jacob, I get it if they're saying, hey, where's this been all along? I think this is what we all expected all along, right? But I look at it like, well, at least they're finally there. Let's see what they do now. Because they're a pretty confident bunch, to be honest.
Well, yeah,
I wasn't expecting this. Were you?
Not at all.
I mean, that anybody was.
Yeah, on the road.
I bet it. I bet the K-State win, Wyatt, believe it or not. Just going to toss that in.
I saw it.
You're a smarter man than I am.
Smart. I didn't tell you the full story. I also I put it with a KU outright win. So I wasted it. I wasted it is what I did.
Well, you know what? It was a – let's just talk about that real briefly if you want to. An incredible, weird, wild weekend in the Big 12. I mean, you think about how good the league is, right? Iowa State had won 29 straight at home. That wasn't even the longest streak in the league. Think about that a second. Houston had won 33 straight. Tech beats them after losing their best player in the first 5 minutes of the game. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the KU-Baylor game. I mean, how do you describe that?
There's a word for it that I'm not allowed to say on the radio.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, you know, to your point, just
with – second half, Tommy. That's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, as wild of a weekend as it was, I mean, you know, ranking all the crazy games, I think probably, I mean, it was wild just because of the circumstances surrounding it, but it probably doesn't even crack the top three is the Arizona State game. Arizona State, the next team that the Wildcats face. I mean, you've got Bobby Hurley pulling his team off the court to not shake hands with the Arizona folks. And now Kansas State coming off of this huge road win in Ames heads down to Tempe. What do you think the Wildcats need to do to follow up the effort on Saturday against Arizona State tomorrow night?
Well, effort is probably the key word there, right? I mean, if they can come into that kind of game and have that type of juice right out of the gate, they're probably going to need that to win there. If I rewatched the Arizona State yesterday morning while I was at work preparing for, you know, we're leaving today and play late tomorrow night in Tempe, so a lot of work to do there after being on the road on Saturday. But the Arizona State, that game was anybody's game with 3 minutes to go, right?
Yeah,
it was a high level game. Both teams have a lot of offensive talent. I don't know necessarily that Arizona State is defending like K-State has been in the last three games. I'm hopeful that will be a real key factor, but it's going to be a load working against Jaden Quaintance and some of those guys. You probably saw the headbutt. I'm sure of that.
Yep.
But B.J. Freeman was good. Adam Miller was good. Jihad was good. I mean, they're not the deepest team, ASU, but they are athletic. You're going to have to play well to win there.
So, Wyatt, there's 12 or 11 or so games left. 10 games. 10 sorry,
in the,
10,
in the regular 10, season.
Yeah, 10 left. I'm trying to do this. So here's where I got that from. I'm thinking 12 because I think if they can get to 12 – they would be an NCAA tournament team. There's 10 games left. They would need, you know, to win. They'd need to basically go 8-2, which seems, I know it seems crazy.
Sure.
But if you look at their schedule, they get their most difficult games, at least on paper, Kansas, Arizona, and another game against Iowa State, all come at Bramlage. And then the other games they play, Arizona State, BYU, Utah, Arizona State again, UCF, Colorado, Cincinnati. Probably none of those other teams are going to make the NCAA tournament, if we're being honest with how this will play out. So you're looking at a scenario where if they win every game they should, if you want to look at it that way, or they can and can just take, you know, one of Kansas, Arizona, and Iowa State at home, there's a path there where they'd be in. They'd have whatever it is, 22-13, whatever it is, it would be enough. I'm telling you, it would be enough based on the, you know, every game being quad one, quad two type games. and they'd move up the Big 12 standings. It's there. It's there for them.
Well, you let's just cut, to augment what you're saying. If you beat an Arizona, as an example, or you beat a Kansas in Manhattan or whatever, you're right. There are opportunities there, and that's going to augment your chances. That's the great part. The hard part about the Big 12 is how hard it is, right?
How hard to beat all those other teams anytime anyway. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even winning at UCF is going to be a challenge, depending on which UCF team shows, I suppose. But they are – what I just said about Arizona State, ditto. Lots of athletes, really, really fine team in my eye. And I think they're kind of like on the fringe too. West Virginia is probably the same without their best player. It's probably illogical to be thinking like we're thinking, you know, but – as wild as it's been, why not dream a little bit, especially until K-State comes off whatever cloud they're hanging from, right? They've done pretty well here late. I mean, even when this started, you know, a couple of games before actually beating West Virginia, you could kind of see there were little flashes of, well, a little better there, a little better there. And now all of a sudden we're seeing this.
All right, Wyatt, it is a late night tomorrow, 9 p.m. tip out in Tempe. It's going to be a challenge. Just the time alone is going to be a challenge. People can hear it right here on the K-State Radio Network. We'd invite him to do it. Here we go. At least we got something, you know?
That's it. Yeah, that's what you play for, right? Opportunities. And this will be another really big opportunity in trying to build to a four-game streak. And I'm excited to see how they respond. I was excited going into Saturday to see what would happen. Was I overly optimistic? Not necessarily, but I was telling Coach Tang, he asked me about it. I say, hey, I'm really prejudiced, so I always think K-State has a chance, right? And I learned many years ago that don't ever count them out. You can't take anything for granted, right? I remember playing Oklahoma in 2003, and they were supposed to kill us, right? Didn't happen that way. Went the other way, as a matter of fact. So, hey, anything's possible.
Anything's possible, and it's all right here for them. At least they're playing well. We'll start there and see how far that can take us. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats. We appreciate it, Wyatt.
You got it. Thanks, fellas.
Man, what a game. All right, so I teased it there, Tommy, and I didn't know if I was going to talk about this, but we will, because Rick's talking trash. Says Friday, he said that KU had no chance at a one or a two seed, and I thought he was crazy. I think you're misremembering, Rick, who's been screaming from the rooftops how scared they are that KU's not going to get a one or a two seed. Tommy thinks you're crazy, thought you were crazy, probably doesn't today. That wasn't me. Like, these are my great fears coming alive. And so here's what happened with that bet. So I just get this gut feeling. Maybe it's because my kids are sick and I'm losing my mind, and I'm like, you know what? The way K-State's been playing, Iowa State's reeling a little bit, Iowa State's due. K-State's going to go up there and beat them. I was like, all right, let's see what that is on the money line. 10-1? Yeah, give me that. What's K? Oh, KU's an underdog in Waco? Let's throw them in there too. Now it's like plus 237 or whatever it is. 23-1. Throw it in there. I get through the game. I'm like, all right, here we go. Looking at the cash out, I'm like, no, we're good. We'll let this play out a little bit. KU gets a 19-point first half lead. And I'm like, God, I hate the jinx, but I'm losing my mind. I need everybody to get excited with me here. And I need to pat my own back about picking K-State. I'm going to send this out a little bit. Send it to Tommy. Send it to a couple other people. I have to go do something else, not paying a lot of attention at halftime. And then I start one of the threads of a bunch of KU fans start sending me some inappropriate things. And I'm like, what's happened here? What have I done? What have I done? The jinx is on. I Tommied the Jayhawks.
Hey, you should have cashed it out at halftime.
I know.
Why
I
didn't you do that?
It out at halftime because I was like, they've got a 19-point lead. I'm not going to give up 60 extra dollars. It's a 19-point halftime lead. Let's talk about them next. Goodness gracious.
We'll be back.